You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Padraig Harrington wins the Portugal Masters, his first European Tour title in 8 years.
I'm comfortable enough that there was going to be a win, but as I said, every year you want one, and I haven't had one this year, so I'll be able to put down 2016 as a winning year.
And we'll hear more from the three-time major winner later in the programme. Harrington edged out defending champion Andy Sullivan.
Just couldn't get anything to drop on that back nine there. Felt like I gave myself a lot of chances all day and just couldn't quite get them to drop. Massively proud of coming here and defending the way I did.
We will review all the action from Villamora and take a look at who did and who didn't keep hold of their cards. Plus, we'll preview the final regular season event of the Race to Dubai, the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai. And I'm very pleased to say that alongside me is the West Country's Gordon Brand Jr. Gordon, how are you?
I'm excellent, Robert Lee. Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, I quite like playing in Europe at this time of year, sort of October-ish, autumnal colours. The leaves are on the floor and the courses are not quite got the fire that they had in the summer. Nice conditions, I think.
Well, even if you're not playing very well, you can look at the colour of the trees. And as you say, it is a lovely time of year.
Well, so Portugal, Padraig Harrington, first win on the European Tour in some time. An amazing man in many ways.
It's extraordinary, isn't he? He came out of the blue last year and won in America. And where did that come from? But he's someone who just doesn't know when to give up. And three majors and a fantastic Podrington par on the last in the stands, chipping putt to 4 feet, win 23 under par. He's extraordinary. He just doesn't know when to put his eyes back in his head.
A Podrington par.
A Podrington par.
I like that very much.
Remember the USPGA, it was Podrington Park. Garcia probably outplayed him, but he up and down it out of a dustbin.
What about Andy Sullivan trying to chase home Harrington all the way?
Fantastic, isn't he? Sullivan, I thought Sullivan actually performed quite well at the Ryder Cup, and he really is going to be a Ryder Cup player for the next few years. And I think it's really tough when you go as a DC defending champion, put up a stellar performance, isn't he? He was just one short.
Last round, birdied four of the first five holes. That's hard to do.
Well, it's not hard to do, but it's...
Oh, no, it's hard to do, birdie four of the first five holes. That is hard to do.
Well, that's why we're sitting here, Robert.
You're a puzzle, because you think it's not hard to do. I think that's quite hard to do in the final round.
Well, I think that the one of the keys last week, it was quite open. It was very much a birdie fest last week. So, you know, if you're going to get in there and the guys are shooting 65, 64s and 62s, you've got to get off to some sort of start. So if you're a class player, you can do it, Robert.
You know, you had Harrington that was trying to win for the first time in a long time on the European Tour. He's won around the world, but on the European Tour itself. You had defending champion Andy Sullivan, who's just come back from a Ryder Cup. And then you had Anders Hansen, who's basically retired.
Yes, extraordinary, really, from a stellar career. He decided to put the clubs away and be at home, didn't like the travelling, and he'd come out and actually he's played two or three events this year and done quite well. But, you know, really, I mean, some of the guys would take their right hand off to be like him, because he can play the game and he can wins the BMW Championship at Wentworth, could have won this week, but he's prepared to go back.
He doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to. No. Well, he wants to win, but I don't think he wants to be out there week in and week out.
No, I don't think he does. He's got a lot of other things on board, has Anders Hansen. So to do that, with that sort of background, quite amazing. I mean, at one point in the back nine, all three players were tied at the top.
Well, and also it's your preparation, isn't it? You would think, you know, these guys have been playing all year round, all over the world, and he pitches up for a couple of events and he contends. So he's a class player and probably quite missed on the European Tour.
Well, Harrington and Sullivan weren't playing in the same match, but Harrington birdied the 17th hole to go one ahead. And then he had, as you mentioned before, a very tricky 18th hole to play.
In the stands with the second, chipped it out to 4 feet. I mean, that's the one thing that I think has really, you know, certainly three-time major he's been able to do all through his life is extraordinary scrambling. I think to a certain extent, and Padraig almost tries too hard, or it seems he tries too hard, but there's nothing wrong with trying hard if you win a tournament there. It's 8 years since he's won in Europe, won last year in America. Extraordinary performer.
Now, Mikko Korhonen, playing under the pressure of trying to keep your card as well as he did was commendable.
I mean, I think he's had about six or seven goes at the tour score, eventually retained his card 214, 215. So this week was, I don't think he could have really messed up on Saturday, Sunday, but he's retained his card for 217. So a long road for him, but hopefully he can now enjoy some real time on the European Tour.
Well, let's hear from the latest winner on the European Tour, Padraig Harrington.
Pretty much all week I just went after every pin because I just felt great around the greens. You know, this type of rough and the texture of the greens, I didn't feel like there was anywhere I could be short-sighted. It's always a turning point in the last round. And, you know, I was doing nicely, but holding the bunker shot in 11 gave me the momentum that it's going to be my day. You know, when you hold something like that in the last round, and there's always something like that happens in the last round. There's a point where if you take the opportunity or you miss the opportunity, you'll look back at it. But that one, I'm sure if you were watching it on TV, anybody watching it would have said, well, it's mine now. And that's how I felt. Yeah, obviously this changes things. You know, I move up in that race to Dubai, and you know, the biggest thing for me now is, you know, I'm not in the Masters, so I have to figure out what's my best chance of getting in there, whether it's world ranking points, whether it's you know, order of merit. I feel like I'm playing well, so I'm just going to have to re-examine you know, all those things.
A lot of things to consider when you're a player that's played in the sort of events that Padraig wants to continue playing, Gordon. He's got to get the balance just right.
Well, I mean, the balance really is to play better more often, where Padraig seems to be in and out, and as he says, that's why he's not in the Masters. You know, it's a tough ask to get in the Masters year in and year out, I suppose.
Yeah, but he's talking about from now. What does he do from now? Does he stick around and play all of the final series, or does he go and try some grab some world ranking points elsewhere in the world? That's what he's talking about.
I would actually say he's got to stick around now and play the rest of the series out.
Well, I hope he does. Yeah, I mean he can earn world ranking points doing that as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna look at the world rank and see which is the best option, but. Really, I mean, Padraig pops up and he disappears sometimes, and he's extraordinary how he can win in America and then win this week, and he's not in the Masters. Extraordinary.
He's one of the world's great fiddlers, you know, always tweaking, constantly tweaking, 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 tweaking. And in a way, does that work against him?
Yes, it does. I mean, I saw him at one of the British Opens, and he had a band attached to the stand or something to pull against him, and another one round his head or something, and you wonder if that's actually doing any good or any bad. But I think he's a trier, and he will try anything to improve, and you can't really knock him for that. But I think some people would probably like to say, Padraig, you're a great player, just go play and relax. But he almost does too much sometimes.
Inside the top 100 now in the world rankings, yes. So, you know, he's looking at... Can I get to the top 50 before Christmas? Basically, that gets him into the Masters. Oh. Or can he do it via a very high finish on the race to Dubai?
It's going to be a big ask, isn't it? I mean, to get in the top 100 is great, but another 50 spots or so, or, you know, say 30 spots, is even a bigger ask. So he's going to have a couple of top threes, if not another win, to improve that position.
Do you see Padraig somewhere down the road being a Ryder Cup captain?
Oh, and there's no question about that, yeah. He's been behind the ropes, so... Remember, saw him at Glen Eagles walking around, had an interview with him. He's just one of those guys. He knows what it's all about. He would have been able to have a lot of information from captains. And, of course, he's done everything that you could possibly want a golfer to do. So
he was vice at Hazeltine, wasn't he?
He's got to be a Ryder Cup captain sometime.
Well, it's his 15th European Tour victory. It's his first win since the 2007 Irish Open. That sounds a long time ago for someone as good as Padraig. But, of course, we did say he has won elsewhere around the world since then. His winning total of 261 is the lowest of the 2016 season, beating the 262 of Francesco Molinari at the Italian Open. At age 45 and 53 days, he becomes the sixth victory, or it becomes the sixth victory, by a player age 40 or over to win on the European Tour this season. Others are Scott Hend, Henrik Stenson, who has two wins, including, of course, the Open Championship, Tongchai Jaidi, Anthony Wall, and, of course, Padraig Harrington. The 40-pluses have it. It's time for you, Gordon.
I'm nearly 60. 40-plus.
Are you really? What sort of moisturiser do you use? Your skin's very good.
I don't need to. I'm just beautiful.
It just rains so much in the West Country.
Just beautiful every day,
yeah,
Robert.
It rains
go
so much down there.
Way.
Yes.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, that is fairly ancient. You'd have to say 45 is quite old on the...
It's
on the
new 30.
It is old, but...
45's the new 30. 55's the new 40.
I mean, the thing is with that is to contend with these guys that are certainly hitting it a lot further than you on the golf course. But
he's not short, Padraig, by the way.
No, he's not short.
He is not short.
There are some real boomers. When you come out at 20 and you wait until those 20-year-olds get to 45, they'll know about it. So extraordinary for you, Padraig. And all the other 40s as well. I mean, Mickelson's a great winner over 40 as well. So there is hope for everyone.
Now, it's his 15th European Tour win. It moves him out onto his own as the top of the list of the most Irish victories on the European Tour. And he becomes the 10th different player to win the Portugal Masters in the event's 10-year history. Now, let's hear from the man who finished runner-up to Podrick, who almost defended the title he won last year, Andy Sullivan.
You know, I just couldn't get anything to drop on that back nine there. I felt like I gave myself a lot of chances all day and just couldn't quite get them to drop. You know, massively proud of, you know, coming here and defending the way I did. I felt like my game's been coming on for quite a while now, and finally to get myself at the right side of the leaderboard. So, no, it's a lot of positives going into that final series, and, you know, keep playing like that. Hopefully I can pick one off.
Good news for Andy, because he's coming into the big stretch on the European Tour, and, of course, he's got great memories of going toe-to-toe with Rory last year at the DP World Tour Championship. So that's something to look forward to.
This is a great time of year for certain people on the European Tour. Obviously, it's just the run-up to the finish of the year, some fantastic golf tournaments and some fantastic fields coming up. So, yeah, something to look forward to.
But for other people, last week in Portugal was like a major, because it was do or die in terms of keeping your card. Those, and this year it works out to be the 111th keeps its card. Those outside trying to get inside and avoid going to the Q school, which is treacherous. So congratulations to Oliver Fisher, who went from 114 to 110. Australia's Jason Scrivener, or Scrivs as he's known, went from 113 to 106. David Howell finished on the bubble, 111, last man in. Now, Scott Jameson was another to breathe a huge sigh of relief. He arrived in Portugal in 106th position, and a tie for 50th saw him finish the season in 108th.
Yeah, it's obviously a big relief. It was a bit of a struggle the first half of this season, but sort of since Czech Masters, I've started to play a lot better. So, yeah, nice to sneak over the line just at the end, but it's obviously not where I want to be at the end of the year. I want to be, you know, more at the top end of things, and not having to have the sleepless nights or whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's a relief, you know. It's, you know, the guy, there's going to be a lot of guys that just miss out, some of them good friends as well, so feel for them.
A difficult place to be, Gordon, that, you know, when you're hovering around the 110, whether you're inside trying to cling on or outside trying to come in, there's a lot of angst there.
I think the real problem is that is most of these guys will realise they're, you know, maybe outside 111 and they're not playing that well. So they almost need to drag a performance out to actually try and actually secure their car for next year. Graham Storm, one of the guys who missed out by €100. How do you equate that?
Well, he bogeyed the last.
Yeah. How do you equate that over the year? So, I mean, it's tears and tantrums time, isn't it? It's a job saver, you know? So what happens
next?
But
it just shows you, and only Graham knows this, but sometimes you can lose the head and cost yourself shots, and you just can't afford to do that once, because you don't know how it's going to work out at the end of the year. One putt, one lack of concentration, one thing that you definitely could have done better.
Yeah. Sometimes
you're not playing well, you just do your best, but sometimes you think, well, I've just thrown away two shots there by doing something stupid.
Yeah, and then it comes out. I mean, I mean, a long time ago, I learned that you had to try every single time you went out, whether you were first out on Sunday or last out, you had to treat it the same.
How many years did it take you to learn that?
About 4 months.
4 months into your first season.
We were in the middle of Africa.
Yep.
Playing with a very good young player whose dad had won lots of majors. So we thought he was the bee's knees.
Wayne Player.
Thank you. I wasn't going to mention that name. But anyway,
well, my brain was scrambling there.
He pitched up on the tee. And, you know, if I shoot 67, I'm going to get £200 extra.
Right.
And he said, oh, well, there's no point to it. He's just going to have some fun. I said, no. I haven't got any money. That'll pay for my caddy for the week. And so I learned from that moment that I needed to try and concentrate. I think it was important, because if you concentrate on a Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning, you can good chance of being more switched on a Sunday at 2 o'clock when you're leading the tournament. So there's no point taking it half-hearted.
Some of the players who missed that were inside, outside, outside, just didn't quite get inside the 111. Eddie Pepperell, Craig Lee, Eduardo Molinari, Peter Uihlein, Alvaro Quiroz, and of course Graham Storm, who we mentioned with that bogey at the last.
Yeah,
it's fine margins.
And it's not to say they won't play at all next year.
No, they have a ranking from their finish. Yeah.
But, I mean, if they wanted to really improve that, they would go to tour score. But other than that, they have to wait to see where they get in the order, where their tournament finishes, and if they get in at all.
Roughly, just to explain to you at home or your car or the train, wherever you're listening, it really is the 111 are the guys that play next year. And then you've got the players from the Challenge Tour and then the players from the qualifying school. That's about 40 players, roughly. And then the guys from 112 for the next 30 or 40 spots, they fit in after that.
Where does the all-time money winners come in?
That's before those guys.
So then...
There's not many people that are currently playing that are using that as an exemption.
No, and also is actually although 111 is the number, you could finish 130th and get actually quite a lot of starts, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of those guys can look forward to. I'm gonna guess now and say more than 10 starts.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to guess and say that.
And hope
but it's not. You don't want to be there. You want to go to the school and improve your position.
That's the ideal position. Yeah.
But, you know, you might see Eddie or Craig, Eduardo, Peter, Alvaro, Graham get in a tournament some point down the road after Christmas or before Christmas and win. And then they change their playing prospects completely. They go into a winner's category, they bypass all the stuff, and it's the fast track. So there are options for players who are good enough to get back. It is possible.
But it's not the ideal situation because you have got no planning whatsoever because you just don't know where you're going to be.
Yeah, you'll be last minute. You'll find it on Monday morning that you've just got in. You might have to fly to Thailand or something. I mean, it's going to be a bit like that. But
you'll have to leave your Waitrose bag and get
if you believe in yourself and you're practising hard and you're working hard, you get on the plane.
Where did you read that, Robert?
I've just made that up.
Good.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
What about qualifying school, Gordon? How difficult is that?
That is very difficult. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's consistency and, you know...
Don't panic, Mr. Mannering.
It's definitely not about was that swing laid off or across the line, down the line, open and shut. It is a lot of courage is needed there to make the first cut and then to actually take it on and finish it. I think it is an awful lot of courage and...
And don't panic because you've got six rounds. It's very easy to panic.
You won't understand how many people panic on the first tee, you know, and then a panic on Sunday on the first tee. It is really about just controlling yourself. Don't panic, but courage for me. It's hard work.
Good luck, fellas, at the school and hopefully when you get into those tournaments that are coming up after the DP World Tour Championship, yeah, have a good one and get right back to where you should be. Now... In reverse order, from 10th, tied 10th, Oliver Fisher and Benjamin Hebert. In 9th, it was Nacho Elvira. Quite a tie for 5th, Paul Laurie, David Lipsky, Chris Paisley and Robert Rock. In tied 3rd was Anders Hansen and Mikko Korhonen. Andy Sullivan almost defended his championship, lost out by one shot to Padraig Harrington, the champion in Portugal this week. And the fancy race to Dubai tips, well, I went for Tommy Fleetwood, who finished tied 37th. Richard Boxall pit me. Thomas Peters, he went for 31 position, or the 31st position for the Belgian. So Boxy came out as the top tipster, although in the 30s, it's nothing to crow about, Gordon.
Wasn't that Richard's best finish in the 30s?
It was Richard's best ever tip. Hasn't as yet been able
improved.
To convert that into any sort of currency, but
that's his life.
He's a trier. You know, Richard's one of life's triers. We like that.
Very
we really
thirsty.
Do. Top 10 in the European Tour Race to Dubai. Danny Willett is in first spot, 3.5 million points. Now, there is some jiggery pokery when we get to the final end of the season and what happens is a reset, but 3.5 million points or euro, 3.13 for Henrik Stenson, so he's in second spot. So what's that? That's about 400,000 points behind. Rory McIlroy in third, but he's only played 12 events. Bear in mind, Stenson's played 13 events. Danny Willett has played 21 events. Rory, 2.4 million points. Alex Noren in fourth. Tyrrell Hatton fifth. Rafa Cabrera-Bello sixth. Louis Oosthuizen is seventh. Brandon Grace is eighth. Chris Wood from Eurocorden, he's ninth. And Lee Westwood rounding out the top 10, 1.5 million euros. And on the fancy race to Dubai, Tom Scricket's dream team secured the most points from the Portugal Masters, known to his friends as Nostradamus. He went with Padraig Harrington as captain, Andy Sullivan as vice-captain, finished second, and he also included Anders Hansen in his lineup for his top picks as well. That's quite extraordinary. No wonder he won. Thomas Edling, though, still leads the overall standings. Now, remember to check out the European Tour website this week, the Fantasy 3 to watch at the WGC HSBC Champions. In other news, on the European Challenge Tour, Englishman Marcus Armitage claimed his maiden victory in some style with a 5-under par final round of 67 to win the Foshan Open. Welshman Stephen Dobb was also a first-time winner, this time on the European Senior Tour, with a one-shot victory at the 2016 Senior Italian Open presented by Villa Verde Resort. Gordon, you were there yourself.
I was there, and I certainly
did
was...
Did you finish second?
I was at the very end of the field.
Oh,
there.
Second last. Sorry, second
no,
last.
Tied,
that's what it was.
I tied with someone, actually, Robert. I didn't quite secure that last place on my own. But, Stephen Dodd, extraordinary player. I played with Philip Price on the Friday. It was his 50th birthday, so that was
brilliant.
Nice. And he finished second, two Welshmen, first and second. Nice golf course, very wet, undulating greens. But the striker has won it that week.
And the food?
No, the food and the place was lovely.
Yeah.
Deserved winner, Doddy, really, is a striker of the ball.
Yeah, he's always been a good hitter. Always been a good ball striker, yeah.
If he can just keep his patience, he's going to do very, very well on the seniors.
Yeah, see, he runs to the beat of his own drum, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But a very good...
I'd rather finish where he did than I did.
He's a very good player. I've always thought that first was better than tied last.
Did you?
Yes, honestly, call me old-fashioned, Gordon. I always thought the first was a lot better than tied last.
Okay, well, maybe I'll think about that next time I'm 8 over par. Which won't
stuff.
Be far along.
It won't be very far away. No. In fact, your very next senior event.
Thank you.
And one final bit of news from the European Tour. Lee Westwood has been announced as the tournament host for the 2017 British Masters, supported by Sky Sports. The Englishman has chosen Close House, which is up in Newcastle upon Tyne, as the venue. It has been starved of top-class golf for some time. Let's hear Lee.
You know, somewhere I'm obviously very well connected with, and I'm sure it'll be a fantastic test of golf, and all the players will enjoy coming up to the North East and testing their skills around Close House.
For those of us who don't know it particularly well, tell us about Close House.
Well, it's a great golf course. It's a good test. It's not the longest golf course, but it's tricky in places, quite tight, very undulating. The wind can come into play a lot, as people know who've been to the North East. So, you know, it'll test everybody out. There's a little bit of water on the golf course as well, which keeps it interesting, and it's always in fantastic condition, so I'm sure all the players will enjoy it.
Played it, Gordon?
Yeah, I played a couple of years ago in a seniors event, our PGA. As Lee says, it's undulating. We played in the summer and it was quite a tricky golf course.
Quite undulating?
Very, very undulating. I mean, really very hilly. High, up, down and around. Apparently they're revamping it. They're going to make 3 new holes. That's what I heard last week. But a good venue, as he said. It doesn't really matter where you play. It's to take the golf somewhere, isn't it? To the northeast, which... Well, I can't even remember the last time they played at
Slaley Hall, probably.
Slaley Hall. I mean, that was a long time ago we played at Slaley Hall. So, no, they're great supporters of golf, and I'm sure Westwood, as the ambassador for the week, will be fantastic.
Did you play well at Slaley Hall many moons ago?
I think I've...
You lost in the playoff, didn't you?
Are you going to tell me? I'm going to ask you.
Well, I'm sort of reminding you, because you glazed over.
I didn't finish last, anyway.
Good boy.
So, yeah.
Loads of money. Now, on the PGA Tour, Justin Thomas posted an incredible 8-under par final round of 64 to retain the CIMB Classic in Kuala Lumpur, as they say in America. The American finished 3 shots clear of Hideki Matsuyama. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Again, 20-plus under par and a successful defence.
That was the best I ever did on tour, was 20-under, an Italian Open. Ian Poulter beat me, he was 21-under.
Now, the top 10 in the world rankings reads like this. Jason Day, number 1, Dustin Johnson, 2, Rory McIlroy, 3. But what's important is they have been squeezed together. There is now less than 2 points covering Day, Johnson and McIlroy. Spieth in 4th, Stenson in 5th, Adam Scott, 6th, Patrick Reed, 7th, Bubba Watson, 8th, Danny Willett in 9th, and Hideki Matsuyama, after his good finish at the CIMB, has popped into 10th spot. Now, the next tournament on the European Tour is the WGC HSBC Champions. Sheshan is where they're playing.
Yes.
It's a really fun golf course with a really exciting finish, a par 4 that you can drive, or you go a little bit off because the green's so small, you get to a place where it's actually hard to make a par. 17 par 3 along the other side of the quarry and 18 par 5 with water in front of it. It's a great finish.
Well, so at least someone's thought about it rather than wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, which is great. I mean, I just think some of the new golf courses are a little bit samey, and it's almost like a test of nerve, but I like it when they give you an opportunity.
Who, Gordon, gives a flavour of who is playing?
Willett, Dustin Johnson, Stenson, Walker, Knox, Scott, Reed, Rory, Watson, Fowler. I mean, everybody is playing this week. Next week, it's going to be an extraordinary event.
It's a WGC, so a lot of the top players in the world are taking part. Justin Thomas is playing there, and a lot of Ryder Cuppers, of course. Rafa Cabrera-Bayo is playing. Chris Wood is playing. Kevin Kisner's playing from the States. Daniel Berg, another great young player. Shane Lowry's playing. Thomas Peters is playing. Martin Keimer's playing. There's Ryder Cuppers everywhere. And also from the American side, with, like you mentioned, Dustin Johnson, Jimmy Walker,
Chappell,
Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, who didn't get to play, but he was there. Ricky Fowler played.
Bill Haas.
Sergio's playing.
Gary Woodland.
Amazing field.
Right.
So because it's an amazing field, ordinary people might think it would be really difficult for Gordon Brand Jr. to pick out this week's winner.
Well, no.
Oh, it's not difficult.
It's not difficult.
You see, you're like pondering. You're so contrary.
Did you say I have to pick a winner? One person.
Well, that's normally what happens.
Yeah, okay.
One person.
Well, I'm between two here.
Oh, well, give us the two, and then let's see, okay. You break it down to a final, and then go for your final pick. This is exciting, folks.
Going to American. This is both American. Reed and Johnson.
Patrick Reed, you've really gone out on the limb with Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson. They made it through the Gordon Brown Jr. final.
Yeah.
And who of those two, in your opinion, now you've broken it down to two, is going to win?
Johnson. I think that's it between it. I think they're two extraordinary players. One hits it long, one's got the passion of a lion. I think it'd be great, but it's not going to be easy because they've got a world-class feed to beat.
I'm going to counter that, Gordon, and I'm going to pick Rory McIlroy. Because his career is, as we know, the graph goes up and down. He's definitely on an upswing right now. That's it for this week. Please join us next week when we will review the WGC HSBC champions and look ahead to the Turkish Airlines Open, the first of the final three before we get to the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And tweet us your questions to @EuropeanTour with the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr., who's gone for
Dustin Johnson, goodbye.
And myself, Robert Lee, who's picked Rory McIlroy, it is goodbye. Bye-bye.